Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving kindness.
Thank you that you
are sending your message to your children today. I am just your humble vessel. I'm an imperfect human being. And yet you use the foolish to confound the wise. And so I pray, Lord, that you will speak, that your word will not return void. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Romans 8, verse 17 to 19, but I'm starting at verse 15, NKJV. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. In real English, that would have been Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, I hope you don't mind, but I do want to read that whole passage again in the Message version, because it's just a fresh perspective. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Now, if you're wondering whether you're a child of God or not, check it out in John 1, verse 10 to 13, NLT. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. God gave his people a choice so many years ago. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 to 20. This day I call the heavens and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Romans 8, verse 15 has the phrase Abba Father. Now, in the original translation, Abba was a Hebrew word for dad. And you would hear a little child running to his father, hands outstretched, Abba, Abba, wanting to be picked up and loved and given a big hug. So, the translators, it seems, they just couldn't relate to that level of intimacy of a child wanting to sit on his father's lap. And that's why they left Abba untranslated. Now, if it had been a true translation, it would have put dad in there. Of course, other people have used daddy in a disrespectful way. So that's not the issue here. But the fact is that the name of our group is Abba Father Ministries. And that comes from this scripture, where we can cry out, Dad, Father, or as they've put it, Abba, Father. It gives that idea that we love our heavenly dad as a little child loves his dad on earth. It was used by Jesus to try to give them an object lesson, to try to illustrate how intimate the relationship is that we can have with God, our Heavenly Father. Yes, we respect him, and we fear God as in respecting him, not being scared of him, but in respecting him. But besides the respect aspect, the love aspect means just like a little child loves his dad, loves her dad, we can love our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father, because of this intimate father-child relationship we can have with him. And this is only available to children of God. So it's your choice, as it says in Deuteronomy. You choose whether you want life or death. Please, choose life. It even gives a hint. That's the right answer. Choose life. Now it mentions being an heir. And an heir is someone who inherits. After a death of a person, the heirs inherit the estate of the person who died. Now guess who died? Jesus died. And we are then heirs because of that death. And that's why we inherit what Jesus has, what the Father has for us. And we enjoy the friendship of the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would send a comforter, and that was the Holy Spirit. Now there are times in life when the going gets tough, and we go through hard times, and suffering, and the battlefield of the mind, and trials and tribulations. Jesus told us as much in John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so when we go through tough times, don't lose heart, don't give up, don't become sorrowful, because you can have his peace simply because he has overcome the world. And yes, there is the enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, and life in abundance. As it says in John 10, verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and a satisfying life. So even if things are tough and the enemy is gunning for you, don't worry. Jesus has a plan and a purpose in it all, and it is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And once we go through testings and trials, we become stronger and we are able to encourage others that go through similar things. And so don't lose heart. Just keep standing and keep trusting God. And remember the rich and satisfying life that Jesus promises us. And the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. Because in Genesis 3:18, it was subjected to the fall. It says, it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. So the whole earth, the whole creation, was affected by sin when sin came into the world. And so the whole of creation waits eagerly for the day when our redemption is complete and things will be perfect again. So, in the light of this revelation from God's Word, I encourage you to shine your light.